Do not, I repeat, do not leave your Bibles and notes on the desk or in the seats. It's about being orderly. It's about having a place for someone to sit when they come in and you're not here. Now, I know you're here every time, but I mean, you know. Nevertheless, please abide by that. Thank you. Also, there will be no class the week of Magi Day. That'd be next week. Next Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Class will resume on the first day of 2017, provided something doesn't happen that would cause us to cancel it. Of course, that's always a given. If you want to do something interesting and not corrupt online, and I'll leave it with that, type in, Google in September the 23rd, 2017. That's all I'm going to say. You can look at it for yourself. I trust you. Look at it yourself. See if you... means anything. Just something for you to look up. That's September the 23rd. September. This coming year. All right. You want to do this? Apparently so. A lot of women preacher out there. They've got all over the place. Because of weather and class cancellation, it's kind of my call. I do depend on others that are out there in the muck or in the weather to let me know. I did not cancel today. Had the wind been blowing like it was last night, I sure would have. But I didn't. I got up this morning and there was a minimum amount of snow on the ground and it was just freezing cold, but there was no, you know, crazy wind going on, so we have class today. So that's kind of a juggling act that, you know, I try to deal here with regard to weather events that occur here. So anyway, I'm glad we made it. all right. We're in verses 6 and 7 of Colossians chapter 2. If you need to rebound, do so. And let's deal with Paul's comments here as he works his way into the main part of this letter. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted and being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. And I did go online, and you'll be relieved that I corrected that. From assured to accursed. What a difference a couple letters can make. If I was perfect, then where would you be? All right. We were in point 4, the verb paralambano, the verb received in verse 6, and noting verses where this occurs in connection with the inculcation of Christian doctrine into people's souls. We are on page 8, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 at the top. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. 4:1. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, there's your compliment, tipping his hat to him, that you excel all the more. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, That is defined by certain activities, clearly, that are outside the pale of normal human behavior. Failure to work. Take care of your things around you. And other things where people are, you know, not believers. And he's here, he's talking about a believer. Now he's talking about an unbeliever. Unbelievers can lead and do lead ruly lives with under the establishment principle. But an unruly life, an out-of-control life, not normal, and not according to the tradition which you, there's your verb, received from us. In other words, enjoining believers to separate from believers who are, for lack of a better term, out of control, running amok. Withdraw from them. Now maybe that later they'll, you know, pull their horns in, do right, then fine. That's all right. But in the meantime, that's an observation on the doctrine and an application of the doctrine of separation. And it could, and of course, a person on the unruly side could include a number of variety of activities. That I specified one of them. There could be others where they're not, you know. And again, one has to exercise caution and recognize certain things and pray about it. And it's on you. In light of all these texts, all taken from Paul's letters, it seems best to take the verb here as referring to the Colossians' reception of the entire body of truth related to the person of Christ, not just the initial reception of Christ at the time of their conversion, but the continual reception of the Christian tradition, starting with the gospel of their salvation, and moving forward from there. 6. The reception of the doctrine traditions concerning Jesus Christ the Lord is supported by the immediate context of 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man mature in Christ. That's our goal. That's our objective, to move forward to spiritual maturity by the continual teaching of these doctrines or traditions. Note the parallel between just as you received in verse 6 and just as you were instructed in verse 7. So again, this is a reinforcement for all of us that this is what we're all to be. That's our central core focus, is to get information and then to act on it, whatever the action is called upon. Here he reminds them that just as they have received the authentic gospel along with all they have learned, so they should not deviate from these teachings and continue forward and walk in him. Keep moving forward spiritually, as in one step at a time, to get to your destination. Walking involves both a belief system, 1 Corinthians 15, as well as a belief system, a system of belief, now, if Christ has preached that he has risen from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. I guess, and indeed, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. Okay. That's a belief system, a system of belief. That's why I put that in there. Threw me for a second. That is what you believe these things. You don't have to do anything based on them. You just believe in the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ and that God raises the dead, etc., as a doctrine. Or a system of behavior, as in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. Things we are to comply with. And, of course, that's dealing with the Lord's table and the requirements to participate in the Lord's table and to do it the right way, as it was being grossly abused in the Corinthian experience, turned into a party, they abused something they were allowed to do, and so what they were allowed to do, Paul says, you can't do this anymore. Well, how can you stop these people from doing that anymore? He told them that they can't be having these food festivals at their church. That you want to eat, nourish your body, you do it somewhere else. Because you can't handle this. They were doing it at church. And they were combining it with the Lord's table, and it was a mess. As only the Corinthians could. Everything had to evolve into a party. Nothing could be, you know. That was the Corinthian mentality. They actually had a verb in the Greek world of the time of Paul. It was a verb. It was called act like a Corinthian. I mean, they kind of set the bar, you know. You're acting like a Corinthian. Which means you were basically hell-raising and carrying on. Excessive drinking, partying, and all the other associated vices. Acting like a Corinthian. And yet, there's the Corinthian church. So we have this congregation that Paul faithfully ministered to and brought them along in time. Of course, it refers to a behavior system as well. So that you will walk, Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. See, that's a goal. Now, you're not going to do all this overnight in just an instant. Don't be discouraged. You've got to learn. You've got to have trial and error. You got to get divine discipline. You have to grow. You have to go through a process. This isn't, as might be imagined in some places, you just suddenly arrived in toto with all this. These people are kidding themselves. They are not. Bearing fruit, divine good production, in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. So, here the verb is used of the salvation adjustment, where faith in Him results in eternal salvation. It kind of contradicts what I said above, but it's not limited to just as you receive Christ, so walk in Him. That can be taken as you received Him by faith, so walk in faith. Anyway. Judgment call. Walk in Him implies the exercise of faith as it does in phase two. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All the great heroes walked by faith, Hebrews 11. Faith in the active sense. Yes, they believed in a body of truth, divine revelation that was given to them, and they acted upon it, given a whole variety of circumstances that they were put in. And that's what we're to do. Apply doctrine in the circumstances we find ourselves in. That includes our own personal niche, circumstances, and everything attendant with it, our local church, and the times in which we live. The last of the last days. And as I can warn you again and again, be on your guard. These are critical times and the increase of evil. And the fact is that as the forces of darkness and their minions realize this, and they do realize this, they aren't sitting off on the sideline not having a clue what's coming. The enemies to us from Satan, his organization, and all these idiots they have under their Luciferian control, they are working diligently to deceive humanity. And they've done a good job of it to date. Look at all the isms, ideologies, and all of the masses. And America by no means is in any way exempt from this. Have been swept up into all this. Okay? But when it gets to the end. When it gets to the end. Now it really gets super gnarly in the tribulation. Obviously. Because he who restrains is taken out of the way. And on the scene. We won't have to deal with that, but we will have to deal with everything up to it. And they are conditioning the human race for alien invasion. Yes, they are. This was a taboo subject. Oh, we don't see UFOs. Oh, the government doesn't. But the thing is, God is letting these demons mess with these people. And the demons, when they're turned loose and mess with people, they can put on any kind of facade, any kind of look. Lying wonders and miracles will characterize the satanic order in the tribulation. Lying wonders and miracles. Mind-boggling stuff that will seek to take the individual and say, I want to be where all that action is, and tapped into that kind of power. And the only thing that delivers people is positive volition. Yes, but this is what the Word of God says. This is what the two witnesses are saying, and I'm not going down that path. But what I'm saying is, this will continue to build up. You want to see something interesting? Of course you do. Look at the front cover of the Rothschild magazine called The Economist with its tarot cards. They do this every year to project what they're planning to do. Oh, that's a conspiracy. You bet it is. It's a long-standing one. You go online, click on it, and look at it. They say one of the cards represents the rapture. It's a bunch of circles with human faces, and they're going up, apparently. I'm not an expert on all there. And some are dark, you know. But they didn't run out of things to put on their cover. This is called The Economist. This is their socialistic economics, their cosmic economics that they've foisted on everybody. But go there and look at that. And while you're at it, why is a young, underage, maybe 15, I don't know, girl who is transgender going to be on the front cover of National Geographic from Kansas? She's from Kansas, and her family's okay with the fact that she's a girl, but she says she's a boy. Everybody's getting in on the act. This is the final push to just shove all this down our throats and to get everybody in line with this. What's that got to do with National Geographic? Because somebody's from Kansas. It's in there. All these magazines, all these things are designed to brainwash you, to affect your thinking. You may not even subscribe to those more intellectual ones. You may be into People magazine. And all these Hollywood nuts. Right? Hopefully you aren't. You're not that shallow. I have failed you miserably. Just a couple things thrown out. You know, my gift to you at the end of the year. All right. No one would ever looked up the, you know, none of you would ever looked at The Economist, a dull economic magazine out of England. That's the Rothschild deal. But years pass too, and the other magazine, I don't know how often it comes out, but it's got all their, one of them might have oil well and weird stuff. But it's all in the symbolism, and they live and die by these symbols. That's what they're about. Communicating their arcane viewpoint of what they want to accomplish on this earth at any time. And there's no conspiracy. All right. Walk in Him implies the exercise of faith as it relates to phase two. In Him, again, refers to positional sanctification. 13. In verse 7, there are two participles. The first one is a horticultural metaphor, and the second is an architectural metaphor. The horticultural metaphor views their spiritual situation from their past experience. We can plug right into that. We've had a past experience. We've had a pretty long past experience. So the perfect passive participle of harizomai means to be firmly rooted, as related to a plant. 16. It only occurs here and in a doctrinal parallel in Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. This isn't referring to accepting Jesus as your Savior. It refers to the mind of Christ being placed in you so you become Christ-like, in the image of Christ, etc., and God, where you learn doctrine and become this person that in your own personality and all the rest, who has this truth in you, that you're ready to share with anyone that might ask you. But that's going to be rare. So what you do is basically you live this before men without doing anything to draw attention to yourself. People see you and see how you conduct yourself, who see you on a regular basis. There is a difference. And you are an aroma of life to those who are believers and an aroma of death to those that are negative. That's what you are. The people in your workplace and in other places where you are around negative volition. You are an aroma of life. There is, I don't want to be goofy, but there is an aura about you as a believer, and it's very important that you are in fellowship and cognizant. Not that you try to go out of your way to do something to draw attention to yourself like some fundies do. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not about wearing a t-shirt that says, Jesus loves you, and I think you're an idiot. That's on the back. No, it's not about any of that. Any of that cheap stuff to try to draw attention. A big cross around your neck and all the other stuff people do. The guy with the big old forearm in the gym with a cross on it, and Jesus is Lord and all that. That's not much of a witness. It's just somebody who has bad taste. Right? There's plenty of them around, but I'll leave that subject alone. So Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, active sense, of course, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we have to work at this. And the work at it means be here, pay attention, like this was the most important message and information you could ever hear. Relate it to yourself. Pray about things. Apply towards your fellow man. Do good to all men, but especially to those that are positive. And to be alert and to be awake and to be on top of things. Judge yourself and say, these are the things that, you know, that are not appropriate, that I want to do, that I'm trying to aspire to, and I'm being pulled two ways. It's up to you. I mean, but and how we treat one another. And all of us definitely can speak for myself, but all of us can improve. And our conduct and behavior and attitude towards fellow members of the royal family, near and far. Walking in love. By contrast, in the parable of the sower, one of the failed categories of believers is the seed sown on rocky soil and soon withers under the heat of the sun, sorry again, not having a sufficient root system. 18, and now being built up, views their situation as a present ongoing experience, using a construction or architectural metaphor. 19, it is used in connection with the building metaphor of the church universal, 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder. His ministry is that of a wise master builder. Somebody who can execute a plan and do it to perfection. A wise master builder. I laid the foundation, and another is building upon it. More communicators and people come on. And it's dealing with the church in the universal sense, not just to be limited to, you know, the Corinthian experience. But, and another is building upon it. But each man, and then each man must be careful how he builds on it. And that's the gold, precious stones. The day will judge us. So it's more the universal concept. And also at verse 12. Now, Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone, bringing out this building metaphor versus the head body metaphor, the building metaphor of a structure, as in a massive, beautiful temple with all of its with its essential foundation. Christ is they always laid one cornerstone first. It was a special cornerstone, and it was laid at a particular place, spot. Everything had to be perfect. The cutting of it, all of it, and then all the other foundation stones came off of that, and then the superstructure went up over that, and that's been building since the apostolic era. You, as a believer, are a living stone. Living stones. What does that mean to anybody? It's a special type of a thing. There's nothing Masonic about it. You know, it's the divine thing. They like to mimic all this stuff, but we are these living stones built up. Now here he uses the verb for experiential or temporal growth in him, a reference to positional sanctification. A second passive participle is used for their present experience and being established. To establish something, a business, a marriage, all kinds of, is to make it permanent and solid, something substantive. This was not a fly-by-night organization, this local church. Like a lot of things come and go, you know. This was established. Romans 15:8. Now this is just to illustrate the use of the word. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. Example of usage here, 1 Corinthians 1:6. Even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, Corinthians, was established in you. 8:2. No. Me again. Back to chapter 1, and then verse 8. Who will also confirm you to the end. I like that one. See, the goal here, Corinthians, is to, and that it comes down to the individual, whether one individual makes it or not. Who will also confirm you to the end, that would be of this life, blameless. So if you come to the end as an individual, or as a group of individuals, and you do this to the end, you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You keep hanging on here with this, you keep growing with this, bit by bit, part by part, you'll be all right. That's, you know, you just, you know, it requires you learn it, you agree with it, and to a certain level, and that's determined by God, you have to apply it. You may be down on yourself and think, I don't think I'm good enough. God will determine who's good enough. You just keep praying about it. Obviously, if you're where you need to be, you don't want to come up short. Neither do I. And 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he who establishes us with you, the pastor teacher will say, the pastor teacher congregation link. This is a special link. He isn't some hired guy that comes in and, you know, does a job and then leaves. This is a link. So they had to become confident that this guy wasn't another, you know, traveling charlatan. Like there were all around the world, they had these traveling ministries, philosophers, teachers, that people went out and usually had to pay a fee to get into their New Age class or their, you know, positive thinking class. Come to our class, we'll show you how to be rich. Leave $70 at the door. I mean, these are all over the place. There's so many rip-offs today, it isn't funny. I'm just trying to help you out so you think about things. I'm in a diet program. It's a moneymaker. Number one, it's a moneymaker. And you probably can do the same thing in losing weight and getting health by just looking at it yourself and coming up with what you ought to be doing and not doing. But you sign off on the program, they send you all the stuff, and you're going to have instant health. And they're going to walk away rich. A lot of them are just gimmicks. Big gimmicks. Superimposed on people who want to look like a Hollywood celebrity. So 2 Corinthians 1:21. I'll read that. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. Okay, establishes the relationship. There was a real relationship there, as in a marriage or in some other real close relationship. There was a relationship. They looked at him as God sent and their authority. And over time, you develop this confidence. This guy's going to tell me the truth. All I got to do is not listen to the suitors that are out there. Pay attention and follow this thing forward. The object of the participle is in your faith, which refers to the content of what is to be believed. Excuse me. Note Jude 1:20 in connection, where he uses the construction term, but you, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship and praying, be guided by the Holy Spirit, praying the right way. But building yourself up on what? On the most holy faith. The aorist passive indicative of didasco makes it clear that Christian indoctrination is in view here. It takes time to learn this stuff. We know well. Look at all the stuff embedded in the Scripture. It's exciting and important stuff. It's about what the whole plan is about, and we study it to learn, how to operate, who did it wrong, and all these things, that it just takes time. Finally, in verse 7, Paul shifts from three passive participles to an active one, abounding in gratitude. This is in line with the previous reference to gratitude in 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, there's something to be thankful for. There's a lot to be thankful for. And it's really a tonic to when you're down and get in fellowship and start thanking God for things. And you can do it any time, any place, under any set of circumstances. How God works things out for you, and you see Him working things out for you. How He's helping you in situations. Yeah, you get all bummed out under your sin nature and caught up in all that, then it isn't working. The car's not running right. We need to get in fellowship and to rejoice and to be thankful. And He says here, overflowing with gratitude. Not just, occasionally, thank you God for this food, which is fine, but all the other stuff. Overflowing with gratitude. If the full magnitude of the plan of God and everything is before you and in your thinking, you are just overwhelmed by how great this all is and what you've stepped into. As a believer, one, you can get saved in a lot of places, but you got saved. Now you understand it. You're not foggy on it anymore. It's clear as a bell. And what your future holds and all the other things, as you continue to learn, I am a part of this. I am really a part of something that obviously awaits the future for it to be revealed. Those that have died before us and went to heaven, they don't have to have faith. They're there. They see it. They're missing a resurrection body in SG3. They've got to wait until that appropriate time. But so what we have in Christ in this plan, in this awful world that we are in at currently, the perilous times syndrome, where things just seem to get worse, and I and I try to not bum you out by all the stuff. I don't want to begin to tell you all the awful stuff that's out there, just trying to get you so much that, so much, me too, so much that we bought into, that we like, that we think's great. There's so much of it. I don't know how much of it and all the rest, but there's a lot of it that's just a sham. And it comes from the dark side. And the dark side can look nice. The dark side doesn't even have to look like some freak Bahamut. You know, the god of Satan, Bahamut. You know who that is, right? He's a tranny. He's got breasts. Do you ever look at it? I missed that all this time. Okay, look at it. He's got breasts. Satan is portraying himself as a transsexual. Don't look at me like that. Go look at one of them. You don't have to go to a pornographic site. Just Bahamut. Look at him. He's muscular otherwise. Got a goat head and breasts. What can I say? I will leave it at that. Go figure, right? And supposedly, I don't know for sure, I didn't go there. Supposedly they put one of those up in Detroit or something. In a public place. Mind-boggling. But there's a bunch of Satan worshippers on the planet. Luciferians. A ton of them. They're never a walk of life. They're not just, you know, out here in some seedy corner of New Orleans. Oh, no. It's a big deal. Just to know that's just, you know, what we're living in. And these are the people that are going to jump on that Antichrist bandwagon like you can't believe. Where do I get the mark? And disqualify me from eternal salvation forever. And there's all kinds of debates as to why that does that. I'll throw out one, and I know it'll be called speculation, but I'll throw out one. I'll take a chance. What if it's messing up the human DNA similar to what happened with Satan and his angels before the flood with the offspring of the women and the demons before the flood? Now that's a science experiment that they did. And it worked. I mean, in the sense that it produced these men of old, these mighty men. Half angel, half man. What if that technology has something going on besides just some cheap chip that's in your hand that they can read and tell everything about you? What if it's something bigger than that? And that explains why there's no salvation. There's salvation for a Satanist out there. There have been Satanists that have turned to Christ. There have. There's examples. Because you worship Satan doesn't mean you can't break from it and believe in Jesus Christ. He'll suffer. This is in line with his previous gratitude. Joy and gratitude characterize those who are growing in grace and knowledge. Another litmus test for your life. Do you rejoice? Do you celebrate in your heart, in your soul, what you have? That's for you to judge. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.